Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another session of the wonderful Alchemy Lab, where each week I'm privileged to have a guest on my show who is usually someone who has spent their entire life giving love and light and bringing people to wholeness, talking about personal transformation and all things that bring the very core of wellness to each of our souls. And today is no exception. In fact, I'm very excited about today's episode. she's busting to say something, but I'm not going to wait until I've fully introduced you. So, ladies and gentlemen, this lady's name is Alexandra Wenman, and she is a trusted author, a speaker, a healer, a poet, a presenter. In fact, on her website, it says that Alex has become the go-to expert, and that is exactly what she is, and wise woman in a world that's waking up quicker than any time ever before. So welcome, Alexandra.
Thank you, Colin. So great to be here.
Now, I'm going to let everybody into a secret that Alex and I actually managed to meet at a distance, I hasten to add, in Glastonbury quite recently. And we had a wonderful evening together. And there's lots of things from that conversation that we had then, Alexandra, that I want to touch on today. And so welcome. For those of you who don't know you, haven't encountered you before, probably one of the places to find out more about you straight away is your podcast, which you very kindly invited me on. Do you want to tell us, first of all, just a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Colm. Yeah, Colm's been on my show. I call it the Alexandra Wenman Show. Just does what it says on the tin, says what it does on the tin. But it's basically any topic about spirituality, well-being, consciousness, ascension, anything is, you know, there's nothing that's off limits on my show, basically. And my whole point is that I think we just need to make it normal to talk about all of this stuff, you know, just put it out there.
Yeah, in fact, I've made a few notes here. You are devoted, and you said this, that you're devoted to normalizing the conversation about spirituality and awakening. And one of the things I'm aware of, being in a way a relative newcomer into this amazing network, even though I've been working away on the fringes for many, many years, I'm sort of becoming more and more immersed. What I realize is that this network of awakening, for want of a better phrase, has its own jargon. Mm-hmm. It has its own concepts, some of which I'm still learning. I don't always use the right jargon. And when I wrote my book, I deliberately didn't read anything else for years. I wouldn't touch anything because I didn't want to be influenced by other, you know, by jargon out there. So you're a master at this. You're a master at helping those of us that are initiates into the sort of the deeper understanding and meaning of awakening. So you bring the out there, in a way, in here, and you do it through a very down-to-earth approach. So in a way, channeling higher wisdom without people maybe even realizing that they can channel higher wisdom. So do you want to just say a little bit more about your basic philosophy? Because I think that's critical to understanding you as a person, but also the work and services that you offer.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thanks, Colm. Well, I believe in simplest terms that God or the divine is not something that's separate from us. I believe that we're all part of it. And we have a physical body, our physical vessel, but we have a much larger, vaster consciousness, a higher mind, if you will, our soul self, our spiritual self. And at some level on the higher planes of existence, or the faster moving high vibration planes of existence, if that makes any sense, we are all connected. And in human terms, I believe that means that when we start to tune into our feeling awareness or our emotions, our emotional intelligence and our intuition, we can feel each other. And people watching who see themselves as empaths or sensitives will know what I mean. When you can walk into a room and feel the energy of the room, we're starting to be able to feel each other more deeply. And that means that eventually, I believe, we're going to be able to hear each other. And some of us are already dreaming about each other, right, Colm? There's all kinds of manner in which we're tuning into each other and understanding that we are all connected. And it starts with empathy. It really does. It starts with being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and realize that something that is done to a person on the other side of the world, or if somebody else is suffering, it's not separate from us. It actually does impact us. It does affect us. And so what we put out, we get back. And I believe that we, as when we understand ourselves as divine, we have the ability to actually change the world through love consciousness for the better. So that's it in simplest terms. We're all connected. We have a vaster consciousness. We're all gifted. And we have the ability to make great changes in our lives and to live our lives from a more fulfilling place.
So you specialize in certain areas of the multidimensional self. Do you want to pick a couple of the dimensions that you do teach quite strongly on? Any topics that you find that you are being led to lead people along?
Well, it's kind of unique to every person that comes along, because every one of my sessions is very bespoke. So it depends what guides and energies are around that person. But my work predominantly has always been around the angelic realm and working with angels and higher light beings. So you have celestial beings, stellar guides that come in, but they all work on that same angelic frequency, which is an unconditional love frequency. And they come in predominantly just to help us. They want us to love ourselves as much as they love us. They're trying to teach us about the higher nature of love. And it's so beautiful. It's not light and fluffy, though, I have to say. It's been a difficult journey. You know, the angelics, although it's a journey of love, if you're not aligned to your true calling or your true path, they will give you a kick in the butt to get you there. That's all I'm going to say. I've had to walk both my light and my shadow and really integrate all of these different aspects.
Tell us more. Come on, now you've whet our appetite.
Okay, come on, go for it. Yeah. Well, you see, in this human plane, we live in a world that is very dualistic. We have light and dark, good and bad, right and wrong. Yeah. And as humans, we tend to live a lot of our life in judgment. We judge ourselves, we judge each other, we judge something to be good or bad or right or wrong. And we might complain about those things. But I am of the belief that in every challenge, there is a nugget of gold, there is a gift, and it's a lesson or a blessing. And if you can extract the lesson or the blessing from those tough times, then you get the reward of more and more light, knowledge, fulfillment, and you get to, you know, hold the steering wheel of your life and guide it in the direction you want to go in. I never saw myself as doing this, by the way. I started out as a magazine journalist.
Yeah.
And, you know, climbing the wrong career ladder. And now all of a sudden I'm actually out in public talking about being a channel. I would have died a few years ago if you told me I was going to be out here publicly talking about this. So life is full of surprises. We sometimes don't know what we want or who we even are until we start to go within and explore that. And that starts with listening to our emotions, listening to our soul. But I use the angelics on the angels and the higher light guides as a great tool to help me navigate. They sort of are, it's all part of your higher self anyway, on some level, but the guidance is so loving and they'll never send you in the wrong direction. They'll never tell you what to do. They're not demanding. They will just lovingly guide you and offer you insights. So I teach people to channel. It's not all me doing it for them. I sort of teach people how to tune into their emotions. Your emotions they're a great compass for how you can navigate this world and the beyond. I teach people how to open up to spirit, to enhance their clairvoyance, their clairsentience, claircognizance, which is your clear hearing, clear seeing, clear knowing, to be able to really listen to and see and hear and feel what is beyond what we know. So it's about moving from the unknown into the known, because most people fear what they don't know. So I always say to people, well, if you're afraid of the unknown, get to know it. Go explore. I'm the most curious person you'll ever meet. I often get my fingers burnt because I just want to know everything about everything. And so I just keep digging and finding and wanting to understand the nature of me and the universe and everything else. So my work is very multifaceted, very multidimensional. It combines energy healing with, like I said, like channeling and guidance to clearing trapped emotions, clearing subconscious limiting beliefs, looking for soul contracts, ancestral patterns in a child work, the whole kit and caboodle. I trained in a load of different therapies over the years, but I have my own way of working and I tend to just follow the guidance. And I'm very clairvoyant. I see a lot beyond here. So right. I've never done ayahuasca or anything, but I have incredible, crazy, beautiful psychedelic visions that I've now learned how to interpret, and they're very clear. And, you know, it's all practice, 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 really. Anyone can learn to do it, I believe. It's just about, you know, we go to the gym to exercise our physical muscles, but you can do exercises to enhance your clairvoyance and your clairaudience and really tune into the radio frequency of your higher mind. So,
okay. So, Alexandra, you started off over here in mainstream publishing. You were on the magazine side. I used to work on the book side. both have that in common. And here you are now talking about clairvoyance and angels. So do you want to just give us a little bit of a hint of how did you get from there to here? Were there any particular events that took place that brought you to this point? I'm sure people would be interested in that journey.
I've had multiple events throughout my life. The first thing was I died at birth, so I think I came in very open. My parents were told that I wasn't going to survive. Basically, they told my mother she was going to give birth to a stillborn, but I did survive. And I think that's one of the reasons why I came in very open to those other realms. I think I was born with a foot in other dimensions.
Right.
And so, child, I had visions. I would see spirit faces peering in at me at night. I could see arcs of light, and I could see beings walking around as a child. I could telepathically communicate with insects and trees and things, and that sounds completely bonkers to people watching now, but to me it was just normal. I was just a little kid that could communicate with anything because consciousness is everywhere. But I have my pattern in my life has been to learn and grow rapidly through very deep, dark nights of the soul and very difficult situations. Okay. And I'll find myself, I've always been very optimistic and carefree and like, la, 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 slap a smile on my face. But then I'll be like skipping through the tulips and the rug will go out from underneath me and everything will collapse away. But a huge big turning point came for me when I was 14. First of all, I had a load of ancestors and spirit turn up in my bedroom. When I was in adolescence, and I couldn't see them, but I could feel them and I could hear them.
Right.
And they basically said, you know, we're ready. And I said, I'm not. Go away.
Okay.
I was like, no, I'm not coming. I don't want to see dead people. I was like, because I'd asked to be psychic so I could pass my exams. And then they turned up and I went, what are you all doing here? Go away. No, I don't want this. So another 7 years went by. And I moved to London from Australia, and I had another really difficult time. I didn't realize quite how sensitive I was living in Australia because the energy is quite clear and clean and it's very idyllic. Mm. And I moved right into the middle of London and I felt like I'd been hit by, suddenly all these emotions came up. I felt like I was having a meltdown. I started having panic attacks and I didn't know why. And now I know that I had stepped right into a lot of my ancestral history and a lot of past life history that had been quite traumatic. So my body was remembering and I was none the wiser. But I had a major experience probably a few months after I moved here. My great-grandmother died and I'd been very close to her. And she turned up in my room. So it was 7 years after that initial contact. She turned up. And she started to visit me and I realized, you know, I'd shut it down for many years. I was raised a Catholic and I'm told that you're making it up and it's not okay. It's just your imagination, all this stuff. But when my grandmother turned up that day and it was absolutely her, I could feel her, I could see her, everything about the meeting wasn't scary at all. It was so full of love and it was so humbling. And I knew without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that there was more beyond this physical. And she, you know, she's been with me ever since. She comes through very clearly. She was not one to be trifled with, though, was May. She was very, you know, my dad used to call her Mousy Tung. she's very strict Catholic great-grandmother. But then after that, I was having a really difficult time for a couple of years. And then I went home to Australia and I ended up being sort of torn between my family and my then boyfriend because he wanted a holiday and he wanted to have all, you know, take me away from my family. And it was my first trip home in 2 years. So I was very caught in the middle. Ended up having an argument with my mum. But the day after we had the argument, I went to apologize to her and just say, look, mum, I'm sorry. I'm really stressed. This has been awful. And I'm really not enjoying London. I'm having a really tough time, but I'm very stubborn. So I wasn't going to come home. But she said to me, well, have you asked your angels for help? And I sort of rolled my eyes and went, oh, here we go again. Mom's talking about this angel bizzo. Like, what's she talking about? But something in me clicked that day. And I thought, you know what? I'm at rock bottom here. I need to figure out what's going on. So I simply asked, I said, if you exist, if there is any such thing as an angel, and if you can help me, I need evidence. I need a sign. And I tell people all the time, ask for signs, ask for signs, ask for your evidence. No one else might recognize it. You'll want to elbow the person next to you and go, did you see that? The universe just spoke to me. I started to see the word angel everywhere. It was unavoidable everywhere. Angel would be on people's number plates. It would be on people's t-shirts.
It's even on the underground map.
It's on the underground map. Yeah, exactly. And to the point where a couple of days after I asked, my then ex-boyfriend and I drove up to Coffs and we went to this beautiful place called the Promised Land. But I used to go there as a kid, but I didn't really remember much about it. But we drove there and it's this beautiful freshwater swimming hole. It's idyllic. There's waterfalls and things. So we drove there. We pull up in the parking lot and right in front of me is this sign saying Archangel Gabriel Reserve. And I was just like, oh, for God's sake, seriously. White feathers coming out my ears. And then shortly after that, a few years after that, you know, then I started inviting them into my life and my life started getting better. Everything changed. I had plenty of evidence that they were working behind the scenes. Okay. My career went from strength to strength. And then I had a really major experience. I was on a healing training course in 2008 and it was teaching me about clearing limiting beliefs and things, nothing to do with angels, but on the, I think the third day of the course, they did like a very short sort of 15-minute exercise with how to call on an angel using this technique that they were teaching us. And as soon as I closed my eyes and I asked who was with me, it was the whole world and everything dropped away. And I felt this surge of golden energy and light and just like electricity go through my whole body. And it was like I was lit up in golden. It was love. It was just pure, pure love. And everything went gold. My eyes were closed, but my whole body felt like it was being electrified with love. I was tingling from head to toe. It was like a cosmic orgasm. It was like nothing you could explain. And in my vision, my body disappeared. I couldn't feel my edge. I became as big as the universe. And it was all very holographic. So this huge angelic being stepped into me. It sort of became me and I became it, but I could see it and then I could see it from every angle. And it was this angel. And the funniest thing about it was my clairvoyance has quite a sense of humor. It's very metaphorical, symbolic, but it looked like a giant transformer robot because it was all made up of golden geometry. It was all this geometry, but huge wings and light and just light going off the scale. And I said, well, who are you? I was like, who are you? You don't look like any angel I know. And it said, this voice just went, I am Metatron. And it was like this, I was laughing. I was going, what, Megatron? It's just like, this is ridiculous. The whole thing, it wasn't a vision. The whole thing was so physical. It was like a fully embodied waking vision. And I was absolutely there experiencing it. My body, everything about me felt bigger than the universe and this being was there. And he sort of came with this message, we're going to work with you. We've come. It's time. You're going to work with the angels, and you're being called, basically. And this other angel healer, in a room full of 50 people, came scurrying across from the other side of the room and said to me, "Oh my God, I saw that whole thing. The angels want you to write about them. They're going to work with you. Everything." And we looked down between our feet, and there was this massive white feather in this conference room. I was like, where did that come from? So a lot of the things that happened to me and that have happened to me have been quite unexplainable. But then after that, on a human level, again, I went through another radical shift and sort of dark night of the soul, and life changed very rapidly again. And it's always after these visitations that I would I would go through these big shifts. And so then I lost my job. I became redundant. I ended up being sort of out of, like, freelancing and drifting for a couple of years. And then I got a job at Now Magazine, and then I went through the next big shift. So I have these huge transformational, very physical, embodied moments of visitation from these beings. It's it's not something that I can kind of go, yeah, I just had a visit from an angel and then this happened. You know, it's magnificent and really difficult to fully put into words.
So they challenge you to go through a personal transformation towards your higher self. That's the encouragement that they're bringing when they visit you.
Yeah, and normally they'll either give me information about the world or the universe that I don't know yet. I've never read it anywhere. I really don't think I'd heard of Metatron before he turned up. I was quite aware of Archangel Michael and Gabriel and all those ones because I'd been raised a Catholic. But I thought, what an odd name for an angel, Metatron. What on earth does that mean? It sounds like a transformer. And then I did all the research afterwards. So that's how it works for me. I kind of get downloads of information where I just get a dumping of knowledge, and suddenly my brain goes, oh my God, I understand string theory and things like that. And then I'll kind of go off and go, oh, is this what this means? So I found out that obviously Metatron is the angel that represents sacred geometry, which is the building blocks of creation. It is quantum physics. It's mathematics. It's science. It's very exciting because
we might pass on string theory in this podcast.
Oh no, don't worry. I'll have you down rabbit holes before you know.
Yeah, I'm booking a date. We're going to do another podcast on string theory because, as Richard Feynman said, anybody who understands how that works, good luck, because
if I could explain it simply.
Well, exactly. But a lot of people do understand it but can't explain it. So let's talk a little bit then about what you can offer other people. So there's all these different things that you do. One of the things you do is you write poetry.
I do, yeah.
And I'm privileged, everybody, to have a copy of Alexandra's poetry book. My wife and I have been fighting over who's going to read it first. So I've been managing to dip into there, and I hopefully you're going to read one of your poems to us. If you haven't chosen one, I've got one ready.
Oh, you've chosen one.
Yeah, I've got the Lightbringer. I want you to read that if you haven't chosen any others. But anyway, so that's that. But you've written other books. Tell us about some of your other books that you've written.
So yeah, I've written. Another collection of poetry, which was the first one. I actually channel these, so they come through me like water. This is all about my journey of precious wisdom. So precious wisdom alchemy is my healing system I channeled in 2012, which works with sacred geometry. So that was all connected to what Metatron is coming through with. So this is like a journey through the dark night of the soul and then back up out into the light and all of the things that I learned from that. So I self-publish all my poetry books because I put them out for free on my Instagram. Anyone can read my poetry, but if people like them and want to collect them, they can. I then was invited to co-author this beautiful book with a lovely lady who introduced me to Colm, actually.
Teresa
Chung. And this is 21 Rituals to Connect with Nature. So I've written a whole chapter in here on crystals. I talk a little bit about crystal technology, actually, piezoelectricity and so forth, and the healing power of crystals and how you can connect with them in your daily life. And then I've now been signed by a beautiful publisher called Findhorn Press. They're obviously connected to Findhorn Spiritual Community up in Scotland, but they are affiliated with or owned by Inner Traditions in America. And I've got a beautiful oracle deck coming out. This is the image that's the cover image.
Oh, wonderful.
It's called the Archangel Fire Oracle. And so very much like my experience with Metatron, I teach people and explain not just how angels are beings that come in to help us and assist us, but how we can actually embody the qualities of the archangel to become, in effect, earth angels in our own life, to become empowered beings in our own right. Because it's not about something being outside of you. It could be that experience was magnificent, but ultimately he was trying to show me what my own magnificence was. You know, we need to understand that it's all in us.
Yes, okay. So we've talked, you've used the phrase, and even in your book of poetry is based on the concept of dark night of the soul. Anybody who wants to go and listen to your podcast where you were interviewing me, we talked at length about my experience of the dark night of the soul. So maybe it might be just for those people that are listening to this for the first time and are not really aware, the dark night of the soul was originally the title or became the title of a poem by a Catholic mystic called St. John of the Cross, 400 years ago, I think, approximately. And it was made particularly popular by a modern monk, a guy called Thomas Merton, who resurrected the concept of the dark night of the soul, which is essentially historically and in the original poem, it's about allowing the death of the ego. So the pretend self, as I often call it, instead of the ego. Because I'm trying to be kind to the ego.
Yeah, we need it to survive.
You and I had a long conversation about ego. We do need it. So let's be kind to the ego. But the ego is very good at pretending to be something that it's not, or we're very good at pretending of being something. And that's not through our own fault. Quite often we're trained that way, we're brought up that way, we're taught to be a certain way, but it's not really who we are. And it's meant to give meaning to our life and purpose and so on. What you've discovered, what I've discovered, what so many people have discovered, is that that's a trap. But that actually locks us into behavioral patterns and emotions that are really not useful to us. In fact, destructive to us, to other people and so on. So the dark night of the soul was in the original poet's attempt to say, I don't want to be trapped by these misconcepts, these falsehoods about who I am anymore. So I'm going to allow love, and he does in the poetry, he allows love to just destroy those misconcepts and those pretend selves and those falsehoods about who we are. And the reason he called it the dark night of the soul is that it really feels like a stripping down, a bearing, a painful destruction of the self.
And it feels like it's never going to end.
So when the angels visit you, you must get a bit nervous, I would have thought, then, if you think to yourself, what's going to work? So when you're
a bit naive, really, because they come in and the experience is so amazing and beautiful each time that I almost go, oh, it's great, I found the light. And then you just don't know what's coming for you.
Spiritual amnesia. Yeah, it's very common. Yeah. But here's the thing. So to get through those places, you offer a series of services and counseling. So do you want to just maybe just mention some of the techniques that you're using in a practical way? So if I'm interested, I say, oh, look at Alexandra, you know.
Absolutely.
What? Just described, you and Colin have just, that's exactly.
Yeah, we've blown their minds.
Yeah, I'm there, I'm ready. What can you do? How can you help me?
Well, it starts very simply. We work very closely with the emotions. I think as humans, we've been taught to suppress and bottle up our emotions, and everything starts with our feelings. So I start with helping you navigate your feelings. And I have a part of my ability is that I can actually feel what the person I'm working with is feeling, and I can feel where there are trapped emotions in the body. So we might center around, like if I feel a really strong energy in the heart, we'll focus on what's going on with the heart. And then often what will happen is I'll either guide the client into a process where we work just with the emotion. But a lot of the time, my guides will come in with information and they'll say, this is karmic, there's a past life issue here that needs to be looked at. And then I'll almost see it like a film playing out across my consciousness. It's like a virtual reality movie screen. It's very holographic. So I'll be talking to the person about what I'm seeing, and then we'll be working through what trapped emotions are thrown up as a result of that. And then what's beautiful about it is that it always relates back to what they're going through in their daily life in this life.
Okay, this is important.
Past lives are never random. They're not, and whether you believe in past lives, I mean, they're not really in the past anyway. It's all multiple timelines.
It's residue energy, is it?
Yeah, still, absolutely. Yes, okay. Yeah. They're mostly memory or trapped memory. But whether or not you believe in it, you can use it as a very helpful tool. I use it as a metaphor if we need to tell the story of what they're going through now and why they might be feeling that. A lot of people are having emotions come up at the moment, especially while we're in this kind of global pandemic, that they can't quantify. They have no reference points for, you know, people going through panic attacks and going, I was feeling fine before. Like, nothing's happened in my life to make me feel traumatized. And yet on a collective level, we hold trauma. We hold trauma from cataclysm. We hold trauma from many things. And as we are all realizing that we're all connected, we're all feeling each other, as I said. So the jury's out as to whether a lot of the past lives that come up are even individually our own or if they're just a metaphor. So when I see it, I use it as a useful tool to help the person navigate what's going on in this life. So we can clear, if they have, say, a limiting subconscious belief or a pattern, we can help them clear it. And what I do is I just connect to their higher self. And I say, look, this contract has already been experienced. We can see it here, evidence. Let's burn that contract and we'll put in a new one that's more helpful to them. And they show me things like timelines. They'll show me if a person is on their highest possible timeline in this lifetime. They'll help me lift them up to that energetically if I need to. We clear blocks in the road. We look at, and by the way, every bit of clearing is not clearing or getting rid of something. It's taking it and transforming it, which is why it's alchemy.
Important point. Yeah.
Yeah. Just embracing it, really. We embrace it in love and then we extract the gift and transform it. So then sometimes I don't really do fortune telling, but sometimes there will be helpful guidance that comes in. Mm. And it's usually about, it's more about the person and who they are as a soul and what their gifts are. So a lot of people are searching for their purpose at the moment and don't know where their gifts lie.
Yes.
So it's about really seeing their soul essence and maybe some of the gifts they had in those previous or other lifetimes, even parallel lifetimes, have been suppressed, or they maybe were killed for speaking their truth or persecuted in some way. So we release that. And then they can bring those gifts that they had to the fore. So maybe they were a great orator and they have a fear of public speaking in this life, but we can allow that fear to go, and then they can step back into that gift of oration that they maybe had in that lifetime and use their voice again. So everything relates back to you as a person here now. It's a somewhat whimsical and fantastical multidimensional journey while you're in the session, but what I love about it is that it's the evidence that the client finds after the session that tells the tale. Like, before I even started my YouTube channel, I never really advertised my services. I'm not that great at marketing, I have to say. I probably could use some help, but everyone comes to me by word of mouth. People will have a session, it works, whatever I'm doing seems to somehow work, and then people will come back for a different issue if they know it's worked for one before. Okay. And then they tell their friends, and so most of my clients come through word of mouth. And I honestly, I do believe that it is, first of all, my belief in their capacity to heal, which really, really helps, and their belief in their capacity to heal, which makes for the best healing. So I will always say to people, if you come in and sit there with your arms folded and go, this isn't going to work, well, it probably won't. Your belief in your capacity to heal has everything to do with it. That is the magic, as is mine. And I have an innate belief in miracles, and So yeah, if we can witness it in the therapy room, we can witness it in life.
Okay, I'm going to bottle that, because don't forget we're in the alchemy lab.
Yeah.
And what you just said, I'm just going to put that in the mix here. I'm just stirring it up. People can hear me stirring that up. So those are the ingredients that all of us can discover in our ordinary life, which is also an extraordinary life, if we're prepared to be open and unfold the arms, unfold the mind and be open to that. Now, I'm going to get in first with my reading because we're running out of time.
Okay.
So I'm going in because this describes you. Okay, everybody. So this is from The Poetry of Light by Alexandra Wenman. You can get it. Where can they buy that?
It's on lulu.com, but it's also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Waterstones online as well.
Everywhere.
Okay. Everywhere, pretty much.
No excuse.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's called Light Bringer, and this is you, okay? So this is how I see Alexandra. I am not here to teach what's been taught before. I am a way shower, come to open new doors. I am a light bringer, a woman with a goddess duty to restore hope and bring back beauty. I am a font of knowledge divine. I am here and now, it is my time. I will rise and rise and rise and shine. That's you, Alexandra. And So we all benefit from that. Thank you for being so generous with your light and your love. You make the world a richer place because of what you do. So have you got something that you wanted to...
I did a bit of bibliomancy, as one does, and just said, which poem do we need here?
Okay, same book, all right.
And I want to read this one because it reminds me of The Alchemist, and it reminds me of your work, actually, Colm. Okay. And it's about the Sahara Desert. It is about when I went to Egypt and had some amazing experiences, but it's quite a grounded poem, but it just reminds me of how small and insignificant we think we are in this great big universe, but actually how amazing and vast we are, because we are the universe. So I went and stayed in the desert near Siwa with a Siwin, they're like Bedouin, the Siwin people, and we went to the oases and places, but we camped in the desert overnight.
Oh, very alchemist,
yes. I was so alchemist, and I slept by the campfire in the open, under the open sky, and I kept waking up at intervals, and I saw the full moon rise, and at intervals it would move across the sky, and in the morning I woke up to the sunrise and watched it. So it was like watching the world clock. And my friend Lorraine said, you really get the sense that you are on the earth and the earth is moving. We usually think the sky is moving around us, but it felt like I was lying on the earth and I could feel the rotation of the world. It was incredible. So this poem goes, I can still hear the music. I can see the Sufi dance, whirling with sublime emotion in a metronomic trance. I can still taste sand and salt, and feel the hot wind slither by, pour mint tea down my throat, and over whipped cream dunes I fly. A glistening ocean overhead reverberates with stars. Long after those we love are dead, their lights touch where we are. Under a full moon sky, the clock of the universe chimes. I could stay awake all night just to greet her gold sunrise. Her silken undulating skin breathes in the sigh of dawn, her crystal surface shimmering with rose gold she's adorned. Magic is infinite and infinitesimal here. You feel how insignificant you are, for we are all just tiny cells rolling on a giant star. The softness of Sahara has settled in my bones, her hypnotizing melody, hushed whispers, secret moans. Many have left their footprints upon her velvet shifting curves, but the path cannot be followed, for it snakes and winds and swerves. I wandered in a desert. Now at long last I've returned to the place my soul remembered, where the fire of my heart still burned. I thought it was the ocean that would always call to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know devotion, and she is the great sand sea.
That's wonderful. That's fabulous. Wow. Yeah, if ever there was a poem about the desert and alchemy, that would have to be it. It's been a thrill, a real treasure to have you today, Alexandra. Thank you so much. I know you're really busy. You've got lots of stuff going on. You've got your cards coming out soon. And if people want to get in touch with you, if I want to reach out to you, how do I get hold of you?
So my website is just alexandrawenman.com, and it's W-E-N-M-A-N. I'm also on Instagram at Alexandra C. Wenman, and then there's my YouTube channel, but all my email and everything's on my website, so that's probably the easiest way. And if people do want to book sessions, there's a really easy booking system. You just go in there, choose your time zone, click the time you want, and it's all very self-explanatory.
So this is all virtual now, presumably. Yeah, which is great, because if I'm living on across the other side of the world, I can still get access to you. So
absolutely,
that must lead to some early mornings and late evenings, I hasten to add.
Sometimes,
sure.
Yeah. And with the Aussie clients, it's like the other side of the day. So you've got to try and navigate, you know. And I have put on there, you know, if you can't find a time to suit you, do email me, because I can reshuffle things. And
great. Okay. Every blessing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for all your wonderful work.
Thank you for your books of poetry and so on. And I'm sure we haven't seen anything yet. The best is yet to come from Alexandra. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.